Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast about the transformative and healing power of sex, pleasure, and embodied sexuality. I'm your host, Morgan Susan Taylor. I'm a sex therapist and specialist in women's sexuality and the founder of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I am passionate about normalizing the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and the spiritual. I created the Sex Talk Cafe as a place for you to learn from the experts in the field of somatic sex education, sex therapy, and sacred sexuality so that you can remove the mystery from sex, release guilt and shame, and learn to live a sexually empowered life filled with more confidence, connection, intimacy, and love. Thank you for joining me. Today on the Sex Talk Cafe, I'm excited to welcome Katie Spataro. Katie is a full-spectrum doula, holistic pelvic care practitioner, certified sexological body worker, and somatic sex educator. Katie uses ritual, touch, breath, and movement in her private practice to help her clients tap into the wisdom of their bodies and to support them in their personal and collective healing. Katie bridges various modalities of embodiment practices, body work, coaching on consent and boundaries to help support the healing specifically around sexual trauma. Katie, welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. I'm so excited to have you here. Maybe you could just begin by telling us just a little bit about you and about this field of being a doula and a certified sexological body worker. Tell us a little bit about this work and what you do.
I'll just maybe begin by saying that I am a full spectrum doula, meaning I work across the full spectrum of pregnancy experiences, including loss and miscarriage and abortion and birth and postpartum. And I'm also a somatic sex educator and a holistic pelvic care practitioner. So I work around sexual and reproductive health and wellness.
And Katie, for people who listening here who don't know what a somatic sex educator is, could you just tell us in a nutshell what that is?
Yeah, and it's a growing field. It's really a field that has started as a sexological body work around 15 years ago, a profession that came out of the Institute for Advanced Studies of Human Sexuality. It's a hands-on training around working with erotic bodies, working with sexual bodies around tuning into sexual health and wellness and erotic education. And we work hands-on somatically. And so that field is now growing and evolving, which is really exciting.
And the name of your business, Katie, is Sacred Womb Services. And so obviously as a birth doula, you do a lot of work with women, pregnancy, birthing, but you also teach about the sacredness of the womb and the creative and the healing powers of the womb. And I think this is so interesting and just so beautiful and such important work because as women in our culture, we're not actually really taught about how to access this part of our feminine wisdom. So I'm wondering if you would just talk a little bit about how you teach this wisdom to women. How do you teach them about the creative, the healing powers of their womb? And then maybe also share a little bit of your own story about how you came into this work yourself.
Sure. Okay. The womb is sacred. Well, I hold that life is sacred and life comes from the womb. And so, and bodies are sacred. So, you know, we are taught very little about the incredible function and aspects of the womb space throughout our lives. And, as both a birth worker and a sex worker, like this organ in our body is incredible how it changes over time. Its monthly cycling, the way it both has the ability to conceive and shed and to release, to give birth to life and give birth to death. So this part of our bodies is, wow, it's just, I have such reverence for it. And it's often a place that, because we don't get a lot of information around it, it's a place where the tending of the womb, I feel like, has been kind of lost in some way, in many ways. And the repercussions of that, as I see culturally right now, is the prevalence of things like hysterectomy and the prevalence of cesareans and all of these things, when, from a medical perspective, you know, are incredibly important. However, they, to me, signal that we've lost a lot of the folk healing practices around tending and honoring and supporting the wellness of the womb.
Yes, absolutely. Do you ever come up against, you know, women who maybe don't really understand why to value and why to honor the womb? I think, you know, in our culture, we're so trained to just cut it out or silence it with hormones. And I'm just wondering if you could speak a little bit to how do you manage that in educating women about why to take the time to honor this part of our body and this part of our wisdom?
Oh, why? Yeah, that's a good question. Why? I'm thinking of a couple of months ago, I had just a whole influx of clients who were perimenopausal and were being told by their medical professionals that they needed to have their wombs removed from their bodies because of things like fibroids or excessive bleeding or all the reasons why that surgery is often recommended. Mm-hmm. And in our work together, we would do a lot of embodiment work where they were feeling in and sensing in internally into this part of their bodies and their pelvis. And time after time, people were saying that that was the first time they ever felt an internal sense of their bodies and their uterus. And it dawned on me that in this aspect of intending to health, none of it involved actually tuning in to their own bodies. So to me, there's the why is that it, because it's important to our health. It's important to our sense of well-being. And also when we tune in and listen, we receive a lot of information from our body. And my experience, my personal experience is that, and in working with a lot of clients, is that this part of our bodies, the womb space, it holds memories, right? It's from one of my teachers, Tammy Kent, often called the portal of one generation to the next. So it's also where we experience a lot of ancestral memories.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I know in my own work also, you know, I talk a lot about the same thing, how the genitals really absorb and hold memory. And I think just like by the way our bodies are designed as women, we're designed to absorb. And I'd love to hear you just talk a little bit more about this, like how the womb and how the genitals can actually hold these memories. Because I think, you know, a lot of times, is, you know, we tend to think of trauma as something really drastic or dramatic, like maybe sexual abuse or something really severe happening. But really, you know, like any highly charged emotional experience can be held in the body and registered as trauma. So could you speak a little bit more to that?
Yeah. Well, you know, energetically, this part of our bodies, both our genitals and our uterus, they are designed specifically to both receive and to release. And again, we cycle through that even monthly when we bleed. Birth, we release. And so there's an aspect of, yes, we both receive and we take in. You use the word absorb, but we process and we also release. And I think that from my experience in my work, it's the releasing part that we're not as tapped into. And so without that aspect of releasing, we tend to hold, and held trauma in the pelvis is a pervasive problem in my experience.
Katie, how do you define trauma? I'm curious about how you define trauma.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I think there's probably a lot of different ways people would define trauma. But in my work, I would describe it as when I'm working with the pelvis, touching upon experiences and memories in the body that are held or stuck that overwhelm the nervous system. And so I would describe that as held trauma in the body. And how that looks often for folks is either a numbing out or a disconnection from this part of their body, or a place where strong emotions might arise that overwhelm the body, that go maybe into a classic pattern of fight or flight or freeze or appease, right? All the ways that trauma might show up.
Tell us about birth, sex, and eroticism around conception, pregnancy, and birth. I know that's part of the work you do with women, and I'd love to hear more about what that is, how that works, you know, because we don't really tend to connect those two things, even though obviously we all come from sex. We don't tend to think of pregnancy or birth as an erotic experience. We really tend to forget that whole part of it. So I'd love to hear about your work in this area and how you're helping to revive the connection between eroticism, pregnancy, and birth.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real interest for me and really my draw into this work. So I hold birth as a sexual experience inherently. It's a part, it's an experience of our sexual bodies, and that is true regardless of how conception happens. That's true regardless of how birth happens. That's true whether there's a baby at the end of the pregnancy or not. So it relates to our sexual bodies, and it's inherently connected to how we relate to our bodies, how we feel about our bodies, and how we relate and engage with others and ourselves erotically. So it's connected for me to those things can't be taken apart. So holding that, you know, I see how both in my experience being in the birth room and attending to the erotic wellness of somebody birthing, which might look like staying in their body, staying present with the experience, working with the intensity of sensation, releasing into it, you know, so the energy of birth is the same energy of orgasm.
Yeah, say more about that. How are those two connected?
Well, they're connected on a physical level, certainly from the hormones that are released in the body, which are the same hormones. Through the same hormones of orgasm are the same hormones that contract the uterus for labor. And, you know, much like orgasm, the intensity of birth helps support the delivery of a baby. So both anatomically and physically, they're connected. They're essentially the same thing. And I think for me, I will say that, you know, I had a very personal somatic learning around this. I haven't always held this belief to be true. My own story is such that I imagined that giving birth would be a very sacred experience, but I didn't really know what I meant by that until I birthed my child myself also. And I knew in that process, both of carrying a pregnancy and I would also say experiencing a loss 2 years before I birthed a child, that I could tell that I was changed sexually, that there was a transition that I had gone through. Sexual body around those things. But it wasn't until years later, postpartum, that I found myself studying and practicing and experiencing the depth of experiences in an erotic way, like doing a lot of sexual exploration and really tuning into and exploring different states of arousal and orgasm, that I realized that those states are the same states that I experienced in birth. So I needed the years later erotic experiences to frame the sexual experience that I had in labor.
Yeah, Katie, I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit more to that, because we don't really tend to connect those two things, orgasm and birth, and wondering if you can just speak a little bit more about how a woman can access more of the energy of orgasm in birth.
Yeah, this. I think this question is always really interesting, and I want to really approach this question with loving care. That there are lots of different ways that people birth. People birth, you know, in bathtubs or in bedrooms with candlelight. People birth in the hospital, with epidurals. People birth in the operating room, and many other possibilities in between. And from my perspective, there's an inherent erotic nature of birth regardless of any of those scenarios. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have met unless been in the birth room attending and supporting and standing with and holding people in all of those places and really coming to know that the erotic energy of birth is inherent in bringing life for through. And so I think when people, we get a little tripped up when we start to talk about orgasmic birth, and much like words like natural birth might have an expectation of what that looks like or might feel like. And I think that that kind of unintentionally, but has caused some harm, women and women's communities, in the sense of creating a binary of, well, if you didn't have that, then what did you have? Or a sense of, like, for people who birth by cesarean or wouldn't describe their birth as, you know, orgasmic, missed out or did something wrong. And so I want to actually be cautious to say that that kind of perspective, I think there's been resistance of really, like, thinking about birth as orgasmic because of that scenario. And I agree, and I feel like that has created harm, unintentionally, but has created harm.
Well, do you think that because we tend to have a pretty limited understanding and definition of what we even think orgasm is, like, do you think that that really contributes to that misunderstanding?
Yes, absolutely. I do. And I can go back to my own story of, like, right after I birthed, I would not have described my birth as orgasmic, but I had a very limited view of what orgasm was at that time. And it wasn't until years later that I had really explored into the depths of what is orgasm, what are those states, what are the qualities of them. And they're not that different from, say, trance states in a shamanic realm. Like, and so there's many ways we can access those states, orgasm being one of them. And that is the inherent nature of the birth field. And again, I have felt that inherent nature of the birth field, that orgasmic state, even in the operating room.
Yeah.
And what prevents it often, and I wouldn't say it's there inherently, but what prevents access to it or gaining the gifts from it is often fear. The fear on one level might be that sense of, I don't know what it's like to let go or surrender, but on a deeper level, I think it's that culturally we don't necessarily have the supports and the systems in place to hold people through these big transitions.
Yeah, and our culture doesn't really tend to value these types of major transitions or initiations that we go through in life. You know, we don't have a lot of structures or supports really for things like even supporting grieving from loss of a loved one. How do you create these types of frameworks in your work?
Framework would include both the preparation for those experiences and as well as the integration of those experiences.
Yeah, and can you speak a little bit more to that aspect of integration? How do we integrate these really transformative experiences that happen in our lives, particularly through things like birth or loss?
Well, I think one important aspect of that integration is being witnessed and being recognized as having gone through the transition, having gone through the passage. And I think, you know, that has just historically been the case for rite of passage. And so honoring and recognizing that somebody had, like, that these experiences have been significant in their life, that they're changed by them, and that there are gifts that they have brought back from their experience with these. And those gifts are both for them and their families, but they're also to be shared.
Yeah, and I know as I've worked myself with women going through pregnancy loss, that, you know, they tend to really get a lot out of being witnessed by the other women who have been through something similar. And they really get a lot out of that experience of being in a group of others who have a similar experience. However, there tends to be this really big disconnect. Like when they go back into their daily lives or back into their marriages, that they tend to not feel that sense of acknowledgement or that sense of being seen. And when they don't feel seen, they don't feel understood. So I'm curious, Katie, how do you bridge that gap between that witnessing within the container of, you know, a group of other women who have been through something similar, and bridge that out into the greater community where they can actually feel seen and understood, and really integrating that experience into the rest of their lives?
I step in as my role as a doula, you know, part of that is to reflect that back from my perspective and hold that witnessing and hold that reflection that they've been through this big experience, and that in it, even when they've broken on the other side, which often people do, that the importance of where they've been has so much to be learned and gained, not just for themselves, but for others. So I will often ask people after they've birthed, when I'm sitting with them, maybe in the weeks postpartum, you know, what do they know now that they didn't know before they went through this experience? Wow. What do they know now? Like what are they carrying, and ways to support their own recognition?
Yeah, I can really resonate with that. I remember after the birth of my first child, really feeling like my vision had changed. I could see and look at the sky and the leaves, and everything just had this glow. Like, and I remember feeling just so connected to all of life. Like I was just connected to every woman on the planet through this experience of birth. It was really very mystical and very profound. And another thing that I remember noticing was also just feeling connected to life, and also like deeply connected to death. I had just lost my father a couple years before my daughter was born, and really feeling this sense of just connection to the cycle of life through this experience of birth. And I know at the beginning of the interview, you mentioned the womb not only is this creative force, but also is something connected to death. And I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit more to that.
Yeah. So for me, they are the same fields, and the same energy again of transition. And, you know, again, as somebody who has a womb and cycles through a cycle of every month, and understanding that this part of my body has both the potential for conception and also the release. So like, I just feel like every month is the ability to tap into that aspect of and shedding, and like the energy of death in that place of letting go. And then knowing now, both from personal experience and working with many people over the years, that the how common it is that a conception doesn't end in a live baby, whether it be somebody choosing to terminate or miscarrying or having a later term loss, that these experiences are so incredibly common. They're part of the cycle, and they're often taboo. We don't talk much about them, and so there's not a whole lot of ways to frame them right now in our culture, but I think that's changing. But in the aspect of experiencing all of those, they are and they're the energy of giving birth to death.
Yeah, which tends to be the more challenging energy, I find, in our culture. We just tend to have a more difficult time dealing with that aspect of life.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think there's like, how do we frame that, right? Like, how, you know, of course, those of us who experiences that in our bodies, we have an understanding of it, but there's not a lot of frame scaffolding culturally for us to understand it.
One of the things I've heard you say about your work is that you view birth work as sex work. So I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit about, maybe first, you know, what is meant by sex work. I think we tend to have a very limited understanding of what that includes and what that means. And then maybe share with us a little bit about how you see birth work as sex work.
Sure. Yeah, that's such a great question. I love that question. Well, first of all, I want to say that I am so pro-sex work, and that much of my teachers and beloved people that I respect in the world, and systems of thinking and philosophies that are coming out of those who have come from a field of sex work, it's just really exciting to me. And well, birth work and sex work, you know, two professions that been around for a long time, and have been classically ones that have been held by women. And the field of somatic sex education, I view as sex work. It's those of us in this profession of offering support and healing and education around our sexual bodies. Because we criminalize sex work here in the United States, those of us working in this field work in a real legal gray area. However, the importance of it is so clear to me.
Yeah, and I just want to back up here a minute just regarding what we mean by sex work, because I think that typically when most people hear that word, they think of prostitution. And really, sex work, it's such a much bigger umbrella. There's so many other aspects to sex work other than prostitution. And I'm just wondering, maybe speak to that a little bit, just more defining what else is included when we say the word or we use the word sex work. What do we actually mean by that?
Well, I mean, I think this is probably a longer conversation than we maybe have time for, but I think that we could evaluate what is prostitution. I mean, people getting paid to support a sexual experience, to support someone having a sexual experience in their bodies. And again, from my perspective, I hold sexual experiences as sacred, as spiritual experiences, as healing, as incredibly healing, part of our healing potential. Like untapped potential for healing in our sexual experiences. So I hold prostitution as sacred. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of complexities to the field of sex work that we could talk about, but probably not for right now. And I'll just say, going back to your question of like, why I frame my birth work as sex work, and that is by experience, what I find that I do in the birth room is the exact thing that I might do in my office in a private session where I'm supporting somebody in their sexual bodies and learning about them and releasing into states of pleasure and orgasm. I discovered by doing that those were the exact same things. I was using the exact same words. The kinds of touch I was doing was exactly the same. The energetic space was the same.
And if you could just clarify for our listeners, because I'm sure some people are maybe wondering this, when you use touch in your practice, can you just explain or describe to our listeners how you do that in a way that is ethical and consensual?
Sure. I am a student of Dr. Betty Martin and a big believer in the wheel of consent as a framework for touch. And of course, so much more than that as well, but I definitely use it as the framework for touch. And as part of that kind of model and framework is, holding the question, who's it for? So in the birth room or with my work with my private clients, really coming back to continually that any touch that's given is for them, meaning that it's something that they're either asking for or they're wanting or I'm offering to them, but the way we keep it in the realm of feeling safe and supportive and helpful and pleasurable for them is that we make sure it's for them.
Yeah, and that's, I know that consent and ethics of touch and all that, it's such a huge topic. We probably need to do a whole other podcast episode on that topic alone. But thanks for sharing that. And Katie, you have a workshop coming up in the next few months. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, thank you for reminding me. I'd like to do a little plug for that workshop. So the last couple of years, much of my work has been really focused on working with women and queer folks who are survivors of child sexual abuse and sexual trauma, and working with adult survivors. And for the last couple of years, I've been facilitating and co-facilitating with others beautiful grief and healing retreats for survivors. And so I have one coming up in January in California, in Templeton, California, January 23rd through 26th. To get more information about that, the website is somaticresiliency.com.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So everybody listening, if you want to get more information on Katie's workshop on healing from sexual trauma, that's somaticresiliency.com. And then Katie, if people would like to connect with you, how do we get in touch with you? How do we find you? Tell us how our listeners can get in touch if they're interested in learning more about you.
And people can find me at sacredwombservices.com.
Well, Katie, I just want to give a big thank you for coming on to the show. It's been a true delight to have you. And just as a recap for our listeners, if you'd like to find out more about Katie's workshop coming up in January of 2020, you can find out more at somaticresiliency.com. And to learn more about Katie and her work, you can visit her website at sacredwombservices.com. That's womb, like W-O-M-B, sacredwombservices.com. And Katie, thank you so much. It's been a true delight having you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Morgan. Take good care.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast series and sharing it with your community. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.